Happy New Year, listeners. We are back. We all made it through Christmas and 12/21. The end of the world didn't happen. The Mayan calendar was wrong. We're all thankful for that. Steve, what do you got going on in the new year?
I was really hoping for the Mayan calendar to be right.
You were?
Yeah.
Oh, I was waiting for you to like continue that. I was like, what in the world is going on?
I was just trying to see what you were going to say if I said that.
Sorry for the pause. I was like, really?
You're a faith guy, and I didn't think you were going to go for the Mayan calendar.
That's very much not.
So, hey, we made it through the new year.
We made it through the new year. It's now 2013. I can't believe it.
Well, we got the best guest of the year so far on the show today.
Good shows. I mean, yeah. we got golf listeners, you want to tune in today. You want to make sure and go get out of your garage, get on the golf course, but not yet. We're going to have a great time talking today with some wonderful new guests. So before we get to them, Steve, just so that we can update everybody, you're Steve Gander. I'm Zach Gandra. And we are from excellentcultures.com. You can look on there all the time. We have wonderful content for you business leaders and business owners on there all the time. We're all about helping the good guys win in business. Steve's been in this business for about 35 years, is really annoyed with all the big time, big wigs, bad guys that have been overcoming the business waves in the last years, huh?
Yeah, so we're scouring the world to find the good guys in business who are doing it right and doing it exceptionally well. Our guests today are the two leaders of RMG Golf, which is a local Seattle-based, South End Seattle-based firm that specializes in taking over great golf courses and turn them into awesome, excellent golf courses that anybody can afford to play on at a world-class level of play, and they run their business with some of the coolest ethics and values you will ever have heard of. So if you're a golfer, stay tuned, because they got the best value on the market for anybody who wants to play golf and play it well and have fun and do it with good guys instead of bad guys that lie about their handicap.
And
steal your money, and you don't even. I mean, they've got a process in place that the bad guys don't even feel comfortable hanging on there.
How is your golf game, Steve?
Yeah, it's not nearly as good as it could be. But this isn't golfing season, so let's talk to the good guys.
Yeah, introduce our guests.
Okay, so we have Mike Moore and Sean Cucciardi from RMG Golf. Those of you that are Puget Sound golf fans, you would know that RMG stands for Ryan Moore Golf. Ryan just finished 11th in the world on the PGA Tour this year, won a great tournament in Las Vegas not too long ago, and I think if you're a golf fan and you watch Ryan, you'll know that he's a very unconventional kind of golfer, in that he's not about promoting himself or his brand. He's about living family values, doing the right thing, winning in a great way, and makes it all happen. So Mike Moore is actually Ryan's dad, who is the CEO of the firm. So we'll get him to talk a little bit about Mike and Sean. Why don't you guys just kind of tell everybody about RMG, what you guys do, what you stand for, what you're looking forward to, and kind of a little bit of a background and future picture for folks that want to hear about your business.
Well, thank you, Steve. We're very thankful to have the opportunity to come here today and talk with you. We're excited about this new year and all that it brings. We've started RMG Golf Club a little over a year ago, and the goal and the vision was to provide world-class golf courses in excellent condition that was affordable, great value for the public. And we've achieved that. We acquired Oak Brook Golf and Country Club here in Lakewood beginning of the year, January 1st of 2012, and it's been a success. The folks out there are enjoying the golf course in as good a condition as it's ever been in, and at a great value, much less than they paid historically to play there, and we're really growing the game. The membership has quadrupled in that period of time, and we're pretty thrilled.
Wow.
So.
I was excited just hearing about it earlier, too, because Sean, we were going to already introduce, but you'll share in a minute, and asked me if I played golf, and I was like, nope, I don't play golf. I used to play golf. There's a lot of used-to-play golfers out there, and he asked me why, and I said, it's too expensive. I can't believe it's too expensive. I started shooting guns at the gun range instead because it was just about the same price, and I left feeling better about myself.
No, you just wanted to kill something that looked like it was moving instead of a golf ball. You know?
Yeah. You can get those targets that look like Osama bin Laden. Yeah, Sean, tell the listeners about what you told me, because I was pretty excited. Actually, I'm like, I might start playing golf again.
Exactly. You know, when I asked those questions, it was actually a loaded question. Between Mike and I and our team at RMG, we've probably asked this question amongst tens of thousands of golfers, and what we found, the answers always come back to be basically the same. And the reason people aren't playing as much golf as we would like to see them play, or they would like to see themselves play, is a result of the cost of that it takes to play the game, the difficulty of the game, and the time of which it takes to play the game. And it was funny, you hit on all three of those.
All
we had not met before, and you rattled them all off, and that's exactly right. And so really, RMG was formed as a result of those three known problems. And I think we've sought out to address all of those. We have addressed those. And it's our first year, last year, was an incredible, you know, kickoff to what we hope to bring.
Excellent.
You know.
Excellent.
Well, I've had the good fortune of knowing Mike and his family for a number of years. And as you know, those of you who listen regularly, Biz Culture Matters is a show about business culture mattering. And our pronounced belief and expectation is that at the root of every business problem and every business solution is the culture of the business, how the people think, how they act, how they believe, how they work together, how they compete. Are they competing against each other? Are they competing against the bad guys? All of those sorts of things. And these guys have done just a phenomenal job of building a very successful business. I don't know, I'll get them to tell you about it, but I don't know if you know this, but over 70% of the golf clubs and golf courses in America today are not succeeding. They're writing red ink, losing money. And these guys have figured out a way to reach out to everybody from middle America all the way up with a model that is family-oriented, is value-based, is consistent with the good guys doing the right thing, and they're just winning exceptionally, and they've done it in the Northwest,
yeah.
Which is not exactly the golfing capital of the world. I can hardly wait for their stock to go public and, you know, and they head for the Sunshine Capitals, because this is one phenomenal concept, and it's helping a lot of people have a lot of fun and is generating some really cool profits in a very quality, win-win, high-caliber way. So let's say, Mike, why don't you start out by telling us a little bit about your thoughts on, you know, when you guys first got into the business, and, you know, the kind of values that, you know, with the first course, the classic there in Spanaway, what you learned when you bought the club, what you were thinking about, how you built it, how you developed the staff, all the way back history that has made you who you are today.
Well, Steve, that's a tall order. That's a lot of history to cover, but suffice it to say that we were fortunate to get involved with a friend of mine that had acquired the Classic back. I had the good fortune to build it many, many years ago, 30 years ago now. I'm sorry, 20 years ago, and for a client of mine that owned the ground, and we had sold it to a multinational company that took it over and treated it with great respect and operated it well. It was one of their favorite golf courses in the world, and they owned quite a number in Japan and Hawaii and in the United States. And the principal of that company, this was his favorite course. He frequented it, loved it, kept it in impeccable condition. Economy changed a bit, and they sold it to a large holder and management company of golf courses. And that company didn't treat the golf property with the great respect. They didn't do the upkeep and the maintenance that you need to do on an annual and regular basis to keep it in great condition. And so as we identified that and saw that, you know, we were concerned because the property we had built and that we loved was not in near the condition we thought it ought to be. So we continued to play it, and by that time my young son Ryan was growing in the game and was really enjoying it and becoming quite an accomplished player. And we frequented the property and then had the good opportunity to go back with a friend of mine who bought it from that large management company and buy in with him, and then ultimately buy him out when he decided to retire. And so that was kind of the beginning of our re-involvement at the Classic, and that was in 2004, and we really reestablish the principles of caring for the ground, being a steward of that land that we've been blessed with, and making sure that it was healed, that it was cared for properly, that the greens were getting the necessary maintenance to keep them at peak performance. And it took time. It was really both expensive and time-consuming, but the golf course healed up over time. We got a great superintendent, Steve Newman, that's done a wonderful job for us and continues to help guide our whole superintendent maintenance division in our newly established RMG. He's been a great resource, and the other two superintendents at McCormick Woods and at Oakbrook both look up to him and work well with him. He jumps right in there and helps them in achieving the same types of goals on those properties. Our goal is to make them, as Ryan had said, he's blessed to get to play some of the best golf courses in the world in excellent condition, and it's a shame that the public doesn't get that same opportunity. And that was really the genesis of RMG. That was what challenged us to look at a way to build an economic model that would allow the golfing public a chance to play great golf courses in great shape.
Yeah, that's great. Great. That's huge.
Growing up, I grew up in a family of golfers, and we used to call those courses goat ranches. Remember that, Steve?
Yeah, we do.
With my uncles and everybody. One of my uncles was a member at Oak Tree Golf Course in Oklahoma. We got to play on some good courses that whenever we hit a goat ranch, one of the uncles was like, we're at a goat ranch, everybody. Well, hey, we got to head into a commercial, everybody. Our first break. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNT Cultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
And we're back with Mike and Sean from RMG. We're talking about golf, golf courses, business, and culture. Steve, did you have a next question you wanted to enter us into?
Even before the question, I just want to strike a few underlines and highlight some of the words that Mike shared. You know, as you know, this is a show about business culture mattering. And when you listen to guys like Mike just share off the cuff without a script from his heart, terms like, you know, steward the golf course, be a steward of the land. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard of anybody talking about being a steward of the golf course yet.
Not only that, mentioning the team members that are making that happen.
Yeah, you know, stewarding the golf course and the vision of the people and what it was that, you know, how they started and how their beginnings got going and, you know, how they cared about making the experience, you know, fun and exciting and affordable. You know, we see so many companies out there that preach all of this, you know, green sustainability, customer satisfaction, blab, but the heart is just not there. So that's why we want these guys to tell us more about what they're doing and how they're doing it, because they have taken these high caliber, high quality values that they pack in their hearts and lived them out in a business environment that has created a phenomenal model, you know, phenomenal model that is not just successful and profitable, but it's building people and stewarding the land and improving effectiveness and performance of everybody involved. So, Absolutely. Sean, give us a little bit about your background. Now, I know you were the McCormick Woods guy, you know, over on the other side of the peninsula. And how did you and Mike get together? How did you figure out that you were sharing these common values? And, you know, give us some genesis of the connection.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we've been operating golf courses about 60 miles apart for about the same number of time, about 10 years. And it just seemed like we had a number of people that would talk to us individually and basically say, you guys need to get together. You have some common visions. You have some common values, some common commonalities that really come together to the table and see if what you could do as a team versus as individuals. And it actually happened through a kind of a common friend that's in the M&A world. And we were brought together to kind of consult on a separate project. And as we're there in that room, that was kind of the metamorphosis of what brought us together. And we started talking about, you know, the history of the game, the history of the industry, the history of the business, where it's been, where it is, and where it really needs to get going. I mean, we agreed that we've nearly lost two generations of golfers. Yeah. And golf's a great game. I mean, you know, you look at Mike, you look at myself, you look at Ryan, you look at it, any one of our employees, we have a passion for the game. And then the game itself, what it stands for, is truly about core ethics and core values. For those that play golf, they understand the core ethics and core values. And we want to instill that not only in our people, but in our guests and our customers. And what saddens us is to see, you know, the game of golf lose a little bit of relevance with perhaps some of the generations that are out there today. I mean, you got a lot of 55, 65-year-old white males playing the game. But where's the other generations at? Where's the diversity? And, you know, we would like to share with them what helped molded us as fathers, yeah, as family members, as business leaders. And we believe the game has a unique way to do that. I mean, look what was created, you know, about 10, 12 years ago as a national initiative called the First Tee. And the First Tee kind of dangled this carrot of a game in front of, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of kids throughout the country to bring them in, not just to teach them about how to hit a golf ball down a, you know, green grass, but to really instill in them some of the core values, what makes you strong as a person that the game has to offer.
No, that's incredible. I remember I enjoyed at lunch you sharing that where most of the golfers out there look like Steve and not like me, and I'm a little bit more of the Happy Gilmore. I'm a bearded Happy Gilmore with tattoos, and Steve's a more conservative younger gentleman who's been in the business for 35 years.
I do remember you grabbing your driver and doing one of those Happy Gilmores on the first tee, but I think you missed the ball. So,
yeah, I'm sure,
you
know, I did.
You
I'm
figured
sure
out you weren't necessarily happy.
Yeah, I mean, that's encouraging, though. I mean, it is. It's like, especially with golf, because it's interesting because your greatest competitor is yourself, right? It's not,
no question.
You're not your other competitor like in many other sports, which in life, your greatest enemy is yourself and your greatest competitor is you. So that is incredible. Those values are huge.
Yeah, I want to go back to Mike for a second. As those of you who have been listening to the show for a few months know that, you know, we're on a series of a vision for a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement. And, you know, the operative question is, what is your vision, Mike? You know, what's your vision for a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement? You know, RMG is a young company. It's new. It's taken off like a rocket. What do you see down the road in terms of the kind of values and vision that you want to instill? I talked to so many business leaders, you know, had the opportunity to work with Jim Senegal at Costco on a project a few years ago. And, you know, we were working on their code of ethics and values and how to, you know, import those to literally tens of thousands of employees. And, you know, he's telling me, you know, Steve, you know, we started this business around a table as a bunch of family members, and now we got, you know, gazillion employees, 20,000, I think it was at the time, all over the world. And yet we want to keep our same values and we want our same ethics and make sure that we don't lose the family spirit. And, you know, and I think Costco's done a pretty good job of that. Mike, tell us your vision.
Well, Steve, that's interesting, and we certainly admire what they've at Costco been able to achieve. Again, they created a business based around providing value. to the consumer. Good, solid, dependable products at a value price. So when you make your buying decision, it's easy to look at it and go, wow, their customer service is excellent. They stand behind their products well. The markup on it's modest. It's a good value. And so it's easy to shop at a place like that. And those are the types of things that have inspired us in business, is to create value opportunities for our consumers, for our members, or for the buying public to come in and visit and go, wow, you know, that was a nice round of golf. I enjoyed it. The greens were in excellent condition. The price was competitive or lower. And boy, on this membership, it's startlingly low. Had a hamburger afterwards and it was great. The environment was good. The wait staff treated us with respect and didn't look at me different because I had tattoos or a beard. And
Thank you.
They welcomed me in. And that's kind of the goal. I think that, you know, the analogies for us in the golf industry, if we've looked at not too far away, look up to the east, the ski slopes, and there was a generation that attacked those ski slopes on snowboards, and the first group wave That's of right. those were nearly rejected, chased off the slopes, but they kept coming back, and they kept coming back with dollars to spend, and pretty soon the operators said, wait, we're going to have to create some room for these guys because their money spends too, and they're having fun out here. And it caused a whole retrenching of the industry. And I think in golf, in some regard, that's what we're after now. As Sean indicated, we're looking at a more diverse population. An awful lot of the golf models that are broken are simply centered around the top 8 or 10% of the economic stratas that can really afford to play those facilities in excellent shape. We've built a model here that literally 60 to 70% of the population can afford to play and yet still get very good quality, great value, and have a great time playing them.
That's great. Yeah. So, listeners, a couple of highlights. Again, how novel is it to hear a CEO talk about figuring out ways to provide more value and lower prices to their customers? I mean, especially in a game like golf, where traditionally it's been, you know, get them in for a bunch, and then you've got the range fee, then you've got the locker fee, then you've got the food minimum, then you've got the assessment, and before you know it, it's about how much can we charge these guys and how deep can we get into their pockets. Yeah. Is, you know, now that we've got them captured as our members and they can't get away. And I mean, here a totally different concept. And what's so really cool is it's working. I mean, it's working and it's succeeding and it's growing. And it's about, you know, all of the things that America stands for today. It's about diversity. It's about value. It's about, you know, engagement. It's about connecting with everybody. So, Sean, why don't you talk to us about, you've been around the golf industry a while and you've been around business, you know, a good while as well. Where have you seen these cultures of ethics, values, and employee engagement start to degenerate? I mean, where has it fallen apart? What are some of the trouble signs that, you know, our listeners are listening to that can look for?
Well, I think it starts with leadership. And I think, you know, there's an old adage out there that says, you know, do as I do, you know, not as I say. And I think people look up to their leaders, they look up to their supervisors, and I think it starts there. And furthermore is you know, that word empathy that exists in our country, or perhaps lack thereof in our country. And how can we instill values and work ethic in our people to achieve something great? I mean, all of our golfers that play our courses, you know, you just said at other places they feel like they're trapped there and they can't leave. We know our golfers can leave. And so we have to be, you know, every day treating our people with respect so they turn around and impede our guests or and treat our guests with respect. And that leadership, you know, do as I do, communication, you know, be people that are full of values and that care and give back, you know, they will also do that. They will emulate their leaders. And I think, you know, that's so important for us to be present with those people, communicating with those people, understanding their challenges. I mean, the challenges I face, I may be oblivious to something where someone's really in the trenches engaged with our end user, and to be able to have those open dialogues so we can understand where they're frustrated, make them part of the decision-making process. Yeah. And as a company, we're better.
Yeah, that's very huge. Well said. Very well said.
But I think, Steve, another great Northwest company, we mentioned Costco a moment or two, and I don't want to do commercials for them, but old Elmer Nordstrom is one of the founders of a great Northwest company. One of the quotes I remember from him was that price is long forgotten while value is long remembered.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that really inspired me. it isn't just about the price. It's about the value that you get for the money that you spend. And that's been our goal, is to give folks an experience that they can afford to buy, and they get to pick at what level they want to step in, and how much they want to play, and how often they want to play, at what times of day. They select the frequency and their the features that they want with our packages, and then they can elect. But the goal is that with each of those, that it provides value, something that they'll long remember.
Well, it's January 5th, and it's cold in Seattle, but all of a sudden I'm starting to feel warm and wanting to pull out my golf clubs,
right.
You know, dust them off and, you know, head out to the nearest RMG club and hang out with all my buddies with beards and tattoos, you know, like
that's
my,
not
like
the clientele
son.
Base.
Yeah, like
that's the we're welcoming.
Let's go to a break before we really miss
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. This is horrible. All right. No, wonderful times listening in on RMG here, as well as getting us stoked for upcoming golfing. Hey, you're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180, brought to you by excellentcultures.com. We will be right back.
Excellentcultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, they share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work or working to live? Stress, broken marriages, neglected relationships, and poor health are symptoms of a life out of balance. The right coaching plan can have transformational impact on the quality of your performance at work, depth of relationships at home, and personal sense of well-being. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work. Stop struggling to survive. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work.
We're back with Biz Culture Matters, brought to you by excellentcultures.com on Clay 1180 AM. We are talking with RMG. We're talking golf, and it is January 5th. Steve's ready to get his clubs back out.
Yeah, ready to get them out and dust them off and re-engage and have a great time at a great value. So one of the big numbers that we hear a lot about in business is the 80-20 rule. And what's happened lately, you hear about it in business, we hear about it in sports, even hear about it in other realms of society, in politics and government and religion. Yet what's emerging in business culture these days is the 70-30 rule. And I don't know if you guys that are listening have followed this, but the recent Gallup poll has identified that 71% of workers in North America are disengaged in their jobs. We've got 70% of us that go to work every day, and we only go to get a check, to punch a clock, and we hate what we do, or at least don't love what we do. And we can hardly wait to go get to the golf course and enjoy doing what we really do. But additionally, when you look at that 70-20 rule, when you look at the culture data, not only are 71% of North American employees disengaged in their jobs, 70% of all leaders who lead people lead in a manner that creates defensive behavior. Negative. I mean, 70. If you had a group of leaders and asked them to raise their hands, how many of you would raise your hand, 100 in a room, because you know that your leadership is causing your people to do exactly the opposite of what you want? Nobody would raise their hand. I mean, we're in denial. So 70% of leaders who lead get backward results, don't know they do it. 71% of North American employees are disengaged. 70% of change initiatives in business and organizations fail to deliver the desired results. I mean, this 70% rule is huge. Now, one of the things that I heard from Mike and Sean in talking to them is that it seems like the 70% rule is creeping into the golf world. Because in this economy, we've got 70% of the golf clubs in this country that are failing, that are writing red ink. They're not successful. They're not making it happen. What I'd like for you guys to comment on is, do you see any connection in those, you know, 70% numbers? I mean, you're out buying these clubs that are in, you know, on the bad end of the 70. Do you see any connection between, you know, in engagement and effectiveness and leadership and all the things that drive a culture and what's going on in the golf industry?
Absolutely. You know, I think we can keep this simple a little bit. You know, the word disengagement, you know, someone's become unattached. And I think the focus there needs to be re-engagement. And whether that's a staff person working there, you said 71% of them are maybe unhappy with what they do every day. My guess is if they're delivering disengagement in their job or they're feeling disengagement, then leadership has created that. And so we need to make sure that we're re-engaging, you know, with those staff people. And it's the same thing with our guests and customers playing the game of golf. You know, I think that the game of golf has become something that is viewed as very elitist. And I think that the bearded, tattooed person, you know, they don't feel very welcome around the game of golf. And so, again, they've become...
I do after today.
they've become disengaged because the industry or that business has allowed that. And so I just think we need to stop and figure out ways to re-engage with relevance. When people feel like they're engaged relevantly, Right. Then that's what brings them excitement. That's what gets them up in the morning. That's what keeps them coming back and choosing to love and share their passion of something.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, Mike, give us your thoughts on it.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And that's one of the things that we look for carefully in some of the young folks that we brought into the industry that are working with the RMG team now. They have an attitude of excitement and an attitude of can-do. And it's definitely like the flu. It's definitely something that's contagious, and our customers seem to react to that. We have a lot of excitement in our club. The Oakbrook Men's Club, the club's been in existence since 1966, I believe. The men's club members told us this is one of the best years they've ever had as a men's club under the RMG, and we just gave them the opportunity to do what they really love, and that's play golf and not worry about the business side of things. Our golf professionals and staff encouraged them, aided them in setting up their competitions, and the reports we've heard from them have been wonderful. They've really enjoyed the process, and I think that's our goal, is to develop a team of folks that really love their job, can't wait to get to work, they can't wait to interact with our customers and our members, and can't wait to see this grow, and that's what we're trying to encourage. You know, raising four kids, I've been blessed. I've got four at home, or no longer at home. Two are out of the area. But the thing is, my wife and I identified right away that they were all very unique, very much individuals. And our goal was to encourage them to prosper in their individuality. They were uniquely created, uniquely made, and our goal was to encourage them to explore and to develop their interest and to succeed at whatever it is they chose to go after, because they were talented, they were gifted, and as with the encouragement, we wanted them to go ahead and pursue it. And for one, it was a career on the PGA Tour. For another, it's a career in business. One's very artistic. Another's a writer of significance. And it's exciting to see them developing their skills and their talents individually. And that's our same vision and goal with our staff, to see these guys. Some are more inclined to the business side, some to the outside of growing trees or growing grass.
Yeah, great to hear. Well, as someone who's witnessed the fruit of Mike's family that he just described over the years, along with the fruit of the business, want to take just a couple seconds and visit, you know, the personality of Ryan Moore, the brand for RMG Golf. I don't know if you watch, you know, those of you that are golfers certainly watch the recent tournament in Las Vegas that Ryan won, but, you know, here's a young man that, as an amateur, a local Puyallup young man, as an amateur, actually won more than Tiger Woods. What was it? The U.S. Open, or not the U.S. Open, the U.S. Amateur, the U.S. Amateur Pub Links, the NCAA Division I. you know, Arnold Palmer's private invitational and then finished 13th in the Masters as an amateur. No one's ever done that before. And then broke a bone in his hand, same bone that Ken Griffey Jr. broke, and took who knows how long to find the right doctor that could fix it, and went through a huge slump and came back. And, you know, now a few years later, you know, number 11 in the world, and is so humble and unassuming and non-self-promotional that folks even wonder if he belongs on the PGA. And he does have a beard.
He does have a beard.
He does have a beard.
This PGA Tour picture here does not have a beard.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how, you know, you guys obviously chose Ryan to be the brand of the firm. And, you know, you're the business guys and he's the athlete. What was it about Ryan and his personality and his values that, of course, Mike, you as his dad were very instrumental in, you know, you and your wife, Roxanne, and helping him develop as a young man growing up? What was it about Ryan that inspired the brand of RMG and has built the culture that, you know, is different than a bunch of guys pounding their chest talking about how great they are and how much money they make and demeaning everybody else at the expense of, you know, whatever sponsorships they can put on the back of their bus?
Well, Steve, that's an interesting question. I think that, you know, we're awfully proud of Ryan, of course, for his accomplishments, but more so of who he is as a person. He's a fine young man and, you know, loves his wife, has a brand new little two-month-old baby. And, you know, if he never played another round of golf, we'd still be awfully proud of who the person is. He is gifted at the game. He plays it well. He's got a wonderful disposition for the game. He simply has found something he's really good at, and he's pursuing his dream of playing that game. A slight correction there. He finished 11th in the FedEx Cup last year on tour. He's actually ranked in the top 40 in the world currently, which is not insignificant, of course, as they rank cleared into the 2,000 or so players. So being top ranked in the top 40 is not insignificant at all. He'll be in each of the major championships next year, full exempt on the PGA Tour, be in all the World Golf Championships. So look forward to a good year. And I think he's on the upswing. He's played very well and been developing it. But when you get to the whole business side of it, Ryan actually stepped away from the endorsement opportunities a few years ago and declined to re-sign with a really good company. But he felt that he hadn't really spent time testing competitive equipment and didn't really know if what he was playing and he'd been under contract to play was in fact the best equipment for him. And so he caught quite a bit of attention because he was the only guy on the PGA Tour, fully exempt, that didn't have a staff bag with the lettering from some famous company. And he didn't have a lot of logos on his shirts or hat. He played a whole year and he passed up hundreds of thousands of dollars of endorsement income to simply experiment and figure out what equipment, what products he believed in enough that he put his name on them.
Yeah, what was right for him that he could stand behind.
Exactly. And so we set a principle in place for him in business that it was him. It was all Ryan and his brother and I and two brothers and the family. But he basically said, you know, I only want to endorse products I believe enough in that I'd spend my own money on them. I would actually buy that product, and that's what you're going to see. So if you see Ryan endorsing anything, it's something that he believes in enough that he'd actually spend his own money on it. The RMG Club is very much the same. Ryan had a few years ago had made the comment, why can't anybody build a really comfortable golf shoe that performs? And finally, his brother and he decided to start a shoe company called True Linkswear, and it's one of the fastest growing golf shoe companies in the world. It's amazingly comfortable, more comfortable than your loafers you wear around, and yet it produces on the golf course. It has better surface contact than soft spikes on the market. It's actually helped to lead a little bit of the tail leading the dog here, and that a lot of the big companies are now following suit and coming out with a shoe that emulates or imitates what these guys instinctively saw and knew could happen. It was much the same with the RMG Club. He said, man, why can't the public play really good golf courses in really good shape? And it was his heart to see other people enjoy what he's blessed to get to be able to play. And that started it, stimulated it, and that was part of Sean and I. It was something easy to rally around because that's something we believed is good quality, good conditions, great value.
Yeah, so very well said. So very well said. Well, we're going to go to another break here in a second, but after we come back from the break, I'm going to ask Mike and Sean to put their coaching hats on. I mean, both of these guys are great coaches. You know, I don't know how many years I got to watch Mike, you know, coaching Ryan and the development of his swing and his demeanor and his attitude. And I know at the when Ryan just won the tournament, he gave credit to his younger brother, Jason, for being the putting coach. The putting coach, I asked Jason, you know, what in the world did you say? He says, I just told him he was the best putter in the world and he needed to believe it. So I guess he did. Anyway, we're gonna ask Mike and Sean to comment to us and give, you know, put their coach's hat on and be a coach to not just businesses that are startups and entrepreneurial businesses, but business has been around for a long time. You know, what can businesses do to pull the heart of what's right and good and wholesome and, you know, good for this country and good for the customer and the win-win philosophy out of who they are and put it into the marketplace by way of their brand and their business that's not fake but is real lived.
Steve, once again, leaves us with a giant chunk to think about in the middle of the break. Here we go. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNTCultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
And we're back. Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. Our last segment today with wonderful Sean and Mike of RMG. Steve, you are leading into coaching. Let's hear from these guys. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it would be great to hear, you know, just reflecting for a few minutes over the break on what Mike and Sean have shared with us about, you know, the values of, you know, Ryan Moore, their founder. The values of the Moore family, the values of RMG Golf, the values that Sean grew up with, learning the game of golf, you know, all of these, you know, great solid things that America was built on that so many have drifted away from in these challenging times. You know, what I heard very loud and clear as a very significant principle is a culture that allows people to love what they do and do it because they love it, and not because it's just someplace that you can go and get paid. So what I'm going to ask them to do is, you know, kind of take turns and put on their coaching hats and, you know, give some advice to business leaders around, I mean, how do you build a culture like that? I mean, how do you get, you know, how do you make hiring decisions? How do you make management decisions, leadership decisions? Sean, you're nodding your head. You know, tell us what's in your soul.
Well, I tell you, this this industry has taught me a lot about all the questions you just posed. And, you know, let's just take a golf course here in the Northwest. We run a very seasonal business. A lot of our labor force, especially outside, whether they're cleaning clubs or washing carts or pulling them out or picking up range balls on a very cold and wet day, and there's a young labor force. And it's our job is to help them understand that the skills they're learning are skills that they can truly understand. I think there's a difference between learning something and understanding it, and showing them what they learned today, what it's going to do to help them prosper into the future. And again, bring relevance to what they're doing and to challenge them to do it differently, to do it better. I do not want to see, you know, a young man or a young woman that comes to work for one of our golf properties at age 16. They may start out at a position picking up range balls. I don't want to see that person picking up range balls the rest of their lives. And so what is it that I can teach them amongst that skill that's going to leverage them to perhaps, you know, stay in school, you know, pay attention to what the customer's seeing, to hustle, and that attitude, the attitude that they bring to those job tasks. You know, another thing that, you know, is important to me is to instill in these people is be not afraid to make a mistake. You know, I think there's so many, you know, organizations that breed this culture of fear. And if someone were to make a mistake, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my job. And, you know, I've made many mistakes in my life. I'll probably make another one in the next couple of days or next week or next year.
Got a few minutes.
Year.
You want to share some?
Exactly. You know, but I'm not afraid of it. But I'm going to pay attention to that, and I'm going to do better, and I'm going to get better, and I'm not going to repeat that mistake. And so I think as far as, you know, hiring, you know, that's what we look for when we interview somebody is – do they share a passion? Do they share a vision? And again, how can we give back to them? Because you take that 16-year-old, 18-year-old, or 25-year-old, that rookie on your team, rookie in the NBA, rookie out on PGA Tour, you know, they don't know today what they're going to know in 5 years, and they need mentoring and they need coaching. And again, from leadership top down, we need to put ourselves in that position to be able to offer up that mentorship and offer up being a true coach.
Excellent. Yeah, yeah, very well said, Chuck. Again, pulling out these nuggets of underscorable values. You know, how many times have you heard a business leader talk about their lowest level hourly employee in terms of, I don't want them to just be picking up range balls for the rest of their life?
Right.
You know, I just came from working with a firm out on the East Coast, 53% turnover, very successful business, good values. Yet, in listening to what Sean just shared, I bet they could cut their turnover by 80% if they had a culture of leaders who looked at everybody that came to work for them from the mindset of, I really want what's best for you. I don't want you to be sweeping the floor or picking up range balls for the rest of your life unless that's really what you want to do and what you really enjoy doing and what you have passion doing. Pretty amazing view, you know, for a leader. So, Mike, give us your thoughts on that same concept. I mean, how can you coach business leaders into building a culture that not only excels but sustains itself for the long term?
Well, I think one of the things I admire about Sean and one of the things we really believe together is that, you know, we want our employees and our team members to be the best they can be. And the reality is that some of them might have more gifts and more skills than we do. And we look forward to the day that they're taking over. When Ryan did this and joined us in starting RMG, first thing he did, his younger brother, and Jason and JD Rostowski both had been kind of sharing the caddy duties on tour for him, and he told them all along, it's not a career. I appreciate you being here, and I love having you out with me on tour and caddying for me, and I know it pays reasonably well. And of course, the better he played, the better they got paid.
Yeah.
But he fired him. He said, you guys are going home. You're going to go home. And
fired his brother?
He fired his brother. It was good-natured, and Jason understood it. Jason and JD both had participated in the formation discussions and the concept development of RMG. And Ryan got so excited about this model that we've developed for business. He said, you know what? You guys are fired. You go home, and you're the youth. You're the energy. You're the next generation that's going to take this forward. You know, Dad, he can barely walk up and down steps anymore. You know, we're going to have to be putting him in a home anytime. So let's get you guys home there. And so he has. And I think we embrace it. We don't actually fear that. We look forward to handing the reins to the younger generation. You know, one of the things they brought to the table is, you know, Dad, you look at these clubs. We've got the opportunity to go play some of these really nice country clubs, but you go there, and if your shirt tail's hanging out, or if your hat's on backwards, or if you have tattoos or a beard, immediately they look at you a little funny. They may still let you play, but they make sure to remind you to tuck your shirt tail in. No jeans allowed, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, you know,
kind of sounds like school.
Exactly.
Yeah, Catholic and, school.
Yeah. Well, their message was, if you only do what you've always done, you're only going to get what you've always got. And that's what's happening out there, and that's what we're shaking up a little bit. The young fellows have brought in and said, you know, does this really matter? Do jeans or not really matter to the game of golf? And we've had to embrace that. And even though we come out from more of the conservative, traditional golf environment, Steve, you do as well. I mean, I can look at it, and I love playing golf, and I think I'd have a kick playing with Zach, and I don't care if he's wearing jeans or not. It's not going to affect who he is.
Be a lot of hunting for balls.
Long as he doesn't show me his tattoo on the first tee when I'm getting ready to tee off.
It's not a dirty one. It's just a lantern.
Jeez. Funny, one thing I can say, Mike and I both really appreciate it with RMG, although it's brand new. We're a year old, is the diversity on our team. Whether it's cultural diversity, whether it's age diversity, whether it's, you know, beliefs and mores, you know, but you bring that together, the synergy that it creates, you know, everyone sees the world a little bit differently out of their own eyes, and to harness that and to ask questions from amongst those people, I mean, it really strengthens our organization is allowing others to share with us and to share with, you know, the leadership and the management of RMG, you know, the way they view the world and maybe the way their friends view the world. And I think once we can get a better appreciation of the diversity that exists, then I think we can create services and products that appeal to a much wider segment than perhaps what used to play the game.
Yeah. Sean and I were sitting next to each other at a business forum not too long ago. Mike was there as well. And a number of prominent business leaders were talking about their businesses and their philosophies and how they succeeded and how they struggled and what their problems were. It was a very healthy learning experience. And one of the business leaders who had a retail business that employed a lot of hourly employees was talking about how high their turnover was and that they finally just came to grips with the fact that, you know, these young people are going to stay here for a very short time and we pay minimum wage and they're going to go off and do something else. So we just plan for lots of turnover and built a business model that works. And Sean leaves over me and says, man, you really need to talk to that guy. He says, you really need to talk to that guy. And to tell you,
I never got paid for that.
Well, you know, you will. You will.
Maybe they'll come to me.
Yeah, you will. But the reason you didn't get paid was because it was above my head. I didn't really get it until just now when I heard you say what you say. That, I mean, what would, you know, and then when his explanation at that time that I didn't get fully, even though I did reach out to the guy, was that if everybody's getting paid minimum wage and they're going to turn over and go work at McDonald's or Taco Bell or whatever, the organization that's got the best culture full of people is the one that's going to keep them the longest. And the best culture full of people, when you're a minimum wage starting employee, brand new, you know, new hire, is where you're going to start in many cases, depending on your education. But when you have the mindset of leaders who are about, hey, the reason you're here is to help you be all that you can be, and we don't want you to be in this position forever, and we built a structure in our company where we can help you get to the next level, or, you know, we'll even help you go find a job someplace else if that's what's right for you. Imagine how exciting that would be and how many people would want to stick around and be involved in the upward growth of management, you know, of a firm like that.
I think it's a beautiful thing, like, especially with you guys. I think we've interviewed a lot of people on this show, but you guys aren't building a business, you're building a community. And that's what people want. And that will be in the future, especially in the future among younger generations. That's what they want. They want community. And so many people in my age bracket, 30s and under, are not looking just to go out there and make tons of money. They're looking for something they can do long term with people they love and doing what they love. And that's a great thing. So a guy doesn't pick up range balls anymore, but he's part of your community forever, whether he's working with you or not, because he's in part of the game of golf. And that's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. Exactly. We're going into closing right now, but hey, as we're closing, guys, tell everybody out there how they get connected, engage RMG. How do they get plugged into the golf courses and the memberships and all that stuff? Give us the details.
You got it. Well, I'll start with our website, you know, go to rmgclub.com or stop by. We'd love to meet you and develop a relationship with you. Head on over to the Classic Golf Club over in Spanaway, Oak Brook Golf Club here in Lakewood, or McCormick Woods Golf Course over in Port Orchard. We have incredible opportunities for you to play golf, unlimited golf, as much golf as you can play for as little as $49 a month. There's no catches, there's no strings. That's a true statement.
That's awesome.
Play 30 days of unlimited golf, $49 a month. Get out there and enjoy it. Play more golf.
Come on, this is a radio show. We have to publish the fine print. No fine
print, guys.
There is none.
There is none. Nothing for us to remember. $49, all the golf you want. And they're great courses with professional PGA oversight. Great Ryan Moore. You guys are doing great things.
I appreciate that. And again, you can head to the website, rmgclub.com, or better yet, stop in and see us. We'd love to shake a hand and make a friend.
There you go. Steve, any closing remarks?
Guys,
we got a couple seconds.
Thank you for being on the show. Awesome contributions. I think I'm going to start going back and listening to these shows again and writing down all of the underscores. And, you know, we need to develop a plan that, you know, this is a book, you know, the RMG
great
story
stuff.
That, you know, built a community instead of a business.
Great stuff.
You know, you guys are great. Thank you for being
Thanks
here.
For having
Thank
us.
You.
You've been listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180. Catch us online at excellentcultures.com. You can follow our Twitter account, @XLNTCultures. Facebook.com/excellentcultures. We'll leave you with this tip. Key to successful leadership today is influence, not authority, from Kenneth Blanchard. Remember, everybody, influence comes from relationship, not directives. Have a good one.